Okay, we are calling this meeting to order at 6:31 p.m. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to address the board regarding any matters on the closed session agenda? Seeing none, we will adjourn to closed session. We're going to go ahead and call this meeting back in session, the open session component, at 7:15 p.m. Mr. Spence will lead us in the invocation, and Ms. Shoemaker on the flag salute.
Congregational Father, I'm grateful that we can gather here as the West Covina Unified School District Board of Trustees and as concerned citizens and staff. I'm grateful, Father, for the opportunity we have to serve the children of this district. And we would ask that blessing to be on this meeting, that it would be productive and focus on things that will help our students achieve the potential. This would be in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please join me
in
the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Following action was taken in closed session on September the 25th, 2012, with the subsequent action being reported in open session as required by law. It was moved by Ms. Poulos and seconded by Mr. Cox that the following student has completed their term and condition of expulsion and has been approved by the Board of Education for readmission to the West Covina Unified School District, student 197311. It's recommended that the expulsion be lifted and they enroll at West Covina High School. It was four yeses and one absent, Mr. Spence. Okay. Alrighty. We are going to declare a public hearing at 7:16 p.m. for the purpose of hearing testimony regarding the district's initial proposal for the 2012-2013 to the California School Employees Association Chapter 91. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to address the board? Okay. Seeing that there is no one to address the board, we will, being no further comment, the public hearing is thereby declared closed at 7:17. Okay. Board President's report. I attended more back-to-school nights, and they did an amazing job. Orangewood and over at Walnut Grove, and I had to say a very special thank you. Shout out to Edgewood, and to thank Ms. Kaplan. You all remember last year we went to CSBA, and Sal Khan talked about how he was going to pilot a program with San Jose Unified School District in which students were going to learn from Khan Academy in the evening and then come into class during the day and were going to do their homework in class, so they were directly being advised by the teacher and the teacher could intervene and explain much better. And I am thrilled that they're doing it at Edgewood. The teachers are actually recording themselves. They have them online. The students can look at the nightly. They could go ahead and take a look at the lesson. They could review it as many times as they want. There's some practice problems that they can work on. And then the students have excellent deliverables. And the teachers were saying what a difference it's making. Some of their shy students on some of those deliverables, like doing a videotape of themselves, teaching the lesson or explaining components of what they're learning has been amazing. They said they're getting people to come out of their shells, being very creative, excited about math. That was the biggest thing that I was hearing from the teachers, the two teachers that are piloting this. So I am excited. I left Edgewood high on a high, so I have to say thank you. And I'm extremely pleased that Mr. Travatori and his staff is piloting that. So that's excellent. Okay, that's my report. Anybody else on the board?
I just wanted to say that West Covina High School had an excellent back-to-school night, and that once again, I was so excited to see the speech therapist there, and they were actually sitting with parents and talking to parents individually in different classrooms. I know I said this last time, but this is the first year I've ever seen this happen, and I think it makes a big difference, and you could almost feel the parents taking a breath, being able to have that one-on-one. And I saw one sitting there for a half hour with a speech therapist. So getting all of her questions answered about what was happening at school and some of her concerns. So I think that's just awesome that we have that available for our students, and what a benefit to the parents to have somebody right there.
Excellent.
Okay. Students report. Yes. We're happy to hear from you.
WCHS held back to school night on the 18th. The evening included GATE, English Learner, Special Education Transition, PTA Achievement, and instructional information for parents and classroom visits. We had a great crowd, and the evening was a huge success. This week, our teachers will participate in professional development on student data talks. This training will then allow them to conduct student data talks to first week in October. The data talks consist of a review of individual student performance and accountability exams, such as the KC and CSTs. Students will then share this information with parents and create a plan for improvement. This is the first of two students' data talks we have planned for the year. Tickets are now on sale for homecoming. Our homecoming barbecue and the game is Friday, October 12th, with the dance on Saturday, October 13th, in our newly remodeled gym. The theme this year is California Dreaming. Edgewood High School report, academics. This Friday, we are celebrating our API scores by throwing an inflatable party for our Lions. Sports. Edgewood High School girls volleyball and girls tennis are going to have a game against Northview High School this Friday. Edgewood High School cross country participated in Brentwood Invitational last Saturday. Events, we had a successful spirit week. Edgewood High School students were all in dressings. Students dressed in athletic gear, light dressings, Hawaiian gear, black and white, white clothing, oil and vinegar dressing, cowboy western attire, ranch dressing, and to the end of the week in their class color house dressing. Edgewood High School had a successful first rally of the year. Edgewood High School students were filled with enthusiasm and spirit as we talked about our achievements as a whole and as we supported the rest of our peers that are in sports. Yearbook hosted a viewing of the Hunger Games on Friday to raise money for a new camera. They raised over $600 and had a great time at the making. Clubs, all clubs have begun meeting and are all planning on how they are going to make this year the best year ever. And Coronado report, back to school night was held on September 19th. It was very successful and we had a large turnout. On our late start Friday, our teachers worked on updating their web pages and using student data to deliver more relevant curricula to our students. Our football team continues to be undefeated. Mm-hmm. They have not lost a game in 3 years. Wow. KC exam after school tutoring will take place from September 24th to October 1st. And lastly, KC exam will be on October 2nd and 3rd.
In my report, special thank you, Mr. Marentes. Your Coronado's back to school was excellent, and to see the enthusiasm of the teachers and the students and the parents that were there, you could see there was real interactions between teachers, real rapport, and so I apologize that I didn't cover that in my report. You did an excellent job. Thank you. Okay, we will move on to the business session of our agenda. Besides item number 7, pulling that off of consent, are there any other items? Oh, I'm sorry. To address the there were none. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to address the board? I have no blue cards in front of me, so but I'm giving the opportunity for anybody in the public. Okay, seeing none, we will move on to the business section. Thank you. Besides item number 7, which we will pull from consent, are there any other items that the board would like to pull?
Item 6.
Okay. I'd like to pull item 3.
Are there any other items?
Okay, we will go ahead and pull item 3, item 6, and item 7 from consent. We have who will move to approve the agenda with those items?
I'll move as amended.
Thank you. Who will second that? Thank you. So it was moved by Ms. Pullo, seconded by Ms. Shoemaker to approve the agenda and consent items for the regular meeting of September 25th, 2012. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay. 5-0. Okay, item number 3. Is there anybody who wants to comment on 3? I know I pulled this, so I have. Okay. On page 3YY, I'd like on the very last one, item A, where we list the people for naming of building components and facilities and athletic fields. For the second part of A, when we say at the elementary level, the committee shall be composed of 2 parents, 1 staff member from each grade level, I'm suggesting that we add 1 student from the highest grade level. I thought it would be a great opportunity for a 5th or 6th grader to be part of a committee naming an item in their school. So I put 1 student from the highest grade level, because we have some elementaries that are 5th, some that are 6th. So that was going to be my suggestion.
You don't need among 8 students.
I'm sorry? I didn't specify that. I just said highest grade level at that school.
Did you say 1 student?
1 student. I'm suggesting 1 student.
I would just recommend 2 so a student isn't here by themselves. That could be a little intimidating.
True. Yeah, that is true. Okay. 2 students from the highest grade level. Comment? Any objections? No? Okay. I thought it would be a good opportunity. On page 3ZZ, under limitations to naming rights, item A, we have to remove the and athletic fields because we've added in and memorials. So to take off that and before athletic fields. And then I just had a question. Currently it says the assistant superintendent of business. Do we need to say business services or can we leave it as business? Because I believe the title is business services.
Put the right services.
Okay. That was it for me for item 3. Okay, so Mr. Cox is moving this item. He would like to second that. Okay, so to adopt the following board policies and administrative regulations as amended, except BP0410, BPAR5144.1, AR5144.2, BP6145, and then BP7310 with those amendments. Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Carries 5-0. Thank you, Ms. Kaplan and staff, on the naming facility. That was an excellent job. Thank you. Okay, item number 4, revision of board policy. Anybody have any comments on BPAR5126?
On 4D,
D as in David,
And then D, it says pass the DAT 2 foreign language examination with a score of 600 or higher. If there's a cost to that, do we pay? Because now it's going towards an award that we'd be giving.
That's a good question.
For the SAT 2,
yes.
We do not pay for those exams.
We just got something saying that if we were going to be using that for anything, that we would pay for the exam. So do you want to take that off?
Well, you mentioned that the board would be giving awards.
Well, okay, here it says, who's giving this award then?
Isn't this a state award? The Biliteracy Award?
It's an award that the board may give.
Right. So if we're going to be...
But we have an offer. Do we do that?
You only have to do one of the criteria. You don't have to do all of them.
Okay, but I thought that even you, in the sheet that you gave us several weeks ago about what we really wanted to clarify what students needed to pay for, and that if we were going to be using any part of something as a grade, then we would pay for it. Or if we were going to be using it for different things. Now, people are going to use this when they're applying for colleges, showing that they got this award. But now we're saying that this is one of the criteria that could be used. Not the only criteria, but one. But we don't pay for this. That makes me feel a little uncomfortable.
I hear what you're saying.
Especially after that, you know, it was very nice. Maybe Ellie did that for us. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really nice, letting us know what things that the students had to pay for. This doesn't really go with that, in my opinion.
Okay, but if students can't pay for that exam, they have other ways they can...
We don't give them.
They can do B. They can just be involved and they can take it for 4 years.
Why are we doing this if we don't give it?
No, well, we're going to.
We are.
It's a proposed policy. The board could choose to give awards for these. They don't have to be a cash award. It can be a word of recognition, a certificate, anything like that. It could be required. Give awards for those things.
Well, it makes me uncomfortable when someone they may do extremely well, but they can't afford to take the test, and having that as a criteria. I don't mind doing this. I would, and maybe we could cross that off.
I don't
think it would be fair to everyone.
I don't have a problem leaving it because we give them options. I think if they had no other option, this was the only criteria, then I would agree. But they have options. They can take the district language exam, item
okay,
C.
Pass a foreign language AP, that
right.
cost.
Right.
So there's at least two of these items that cost.
And
I understand that there's other criteria. I feel uncomfortable putting things in after the letter you sent out. That things that cost. I might be the only one, but I do feel uncomfortable with that.
Comment?
No. Well, I have one if we're going to be giving this, and that is those things under A, B, C, and D aren't the same. I mean, I don't think it's the same to pass a high school class with a B for 4 years as it is to demonstrate proficiency in a foreign language. Through an AP test or, there's all kinds of other tests out there, too. And I mean, to me, they're not the same thing.
We looked this up. This is the language in the Ed Code. So we have some questions about this as well.
Because they're not the same.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had a question on one is to complete all English language arts requirements with a 2.0. But successfully complete a 4-year high school course of study in foreign language, the 3.0. I had a question about that. So we looked up the Ed Code, and that is exactly verbatim what's in the Ed Code. I don't know how to answer the question. It is what's in the Ed Code.
I want to try this for you.
Do we have a district language examination, item C? Or we'd have to develop one.
Do we have one, Ellie?
No, we don't have a standing.
Okay.
I mean, there's different things, like in Germany, there's a good institute that does testing, and there's different things like that we could say are our tests. But to me, they're not the same thing as getting a B.
I would agree with you.
Not even close.
Could we take out B and just leave C?
No,
it's
the code. That's right.
So when we looked it up, it's verbatim. We had some questions with this as well. That's why we looked it up.
Okay.
This isn't something that we offer. This is something the state offers.
Depend on.
So that, so that you can put on your diploma. So this is a thing. This is what the district wants. You have to meet these. This is saying this is something offered by the state. If you want it, these are the requirements. And so I understand Ms. Pulis's point about having to pay. You have to pay for the advanced placement classes. You have to pay for the SAT too. But this is what the code says are the requirements, and we're only saying what the requirements are. Usually, if we have a problem with what's in the requirements, we're adding our own requirements when we can. We don't adjust out what the state requires.
Well, I'm fine with leaving it. I thought it was a great support to what the IB school is doing and to what the high school is doing, that because we do offer AP. I thought this was great, a great opportunity for students. Okay. Anybody else here?
Now, these are the only two things the state allows on diplomas, is that right? Because then we had this issue once before when we wanted to put a community service thing on there.
Well, Jim, they know the Golden State seal, and I believe...
But they won't let us put it on a different seal, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do think it's worth further discussion, not on this policy, but a discussion on what we do for AP classes and SAT classes for students that can't afford.
Get back to you on that.
Well, I don't know about SAT, but AP, I know they've taken care of. I mean, find a way to do it. Because we test everybody. Generally going. I mean, we're not one of the districts that goes around and cherry picks people. Yeah, that's what I mean.
In other words, do all kids who take AP?
I don't know about SAT, though. That's
I don't know that.
I think there's options for people that can't afford it.
AP class takes every single class. Takes every single exam.
Okay.
I think the vast majority of students who take an AP course take the exam, and I don't believe any student is ever turned away for lack of funds.
I would like to know then, because I know some people who took it that really stretched to pay for it, how that is offered to parents if we are offering to pay, how that's done.
Get an update.
I'm not sure it's our obligation to pay for SAT.
Oh, and I wasn't saying about the SAT. They were just saying that they paid for the advanced placement.
Yeah.
Well, it would do the same with the IB.
And then if people have to make it known, or is it made known to them? Because I know some people, it's very difficult for them to go in and say, I'm having difficulty. And they just don't take the test. But it's because they can't pay. So I'm just wondering how that works.
Okay, item number 5145.7.
Any comments?
Shoemaker?
Sexual harassment.
How's the sexual harassment? 5145.7.
Yes.
Okay.
On page 4K, on number 4, the second paragraph, the second line, it says, I'm going to read the whole thing just so you know it in context. When necessary to carry out his or her investigation or to protect student safety, the coordinator principal also may discuss the complaint with the superintendent or with the designee, the parent or guardian. And it circled may. I want to know, when are the parents notified? And when is it discussed with them? And then later on it says, it's on L, in that last paragraph, parents are, it talks about parents there too. I didn't circle where it said parents though. In addition, the coordinator principal shall ensure that the harassed student and his or her parent guardian are informed of the procedures for reporting. But I just want to know, at what point are right away the parents called and told that their child's being harassed?
Or accused.
Yeah, both ways,
Ms.
yes.
Pulis, I would say if I received a complaint at my school, one of my first things to do would be to call the parent to let them know that there has been either they've accused of harassing or someone's being harassed.
Okay.
And let them know that we're doing an investigation.
And I couldn't find that anywhere in the in here. I don't know if it's important to be there, but I'm really glad to hear that that's what you're doing, and I hope that's what all the principals are doing.
Do you want us to be part of the AR? Would you like us to have that?
Yes. And then on number six, on 4K, it talks about optional mediation, and it says trained mediator. I know that there's students that are trained in mediation. Is that who they're talking about as the trained mediator? That's why I'm asking.
I would say no. But who would be a trained mediator? Where would be one of our counselors who are trained?
It's typically a counselor.
Okay.
Trained in that type of mediation. It would not be a student.
It would never go to those peer. Okay. That's. I just had that circle because I wasn't sure of what that meant. And this is still seven. And then it says on 4M, enforcement of district policy number 2. It says provides training to students, staff, and parents, guardians about how to recognize harassment and how to respond. When are the parents provided that training?
That's a good question. We typically do the staff and we do the students. I have not had the time to do a parent. If we do parent meetings, we really haven't included.
It's in the handbook. Obviously, in the handbook.
But we haven't actually trained them.
That's different than training.
It says training.
Yeah, it's different than training.
We give them the policy.
So would we add parent guardian to number 3 there?
Mm-hmm. And then take parent and guardian out of 2?
The notification to parents and guardians is under notifications number 1, so I don't think you need to add it.
Yeah, but this just said training, and I thought, well, if they're going to train, I want to know when.
Well, I know, but if you're talking about removing parents and guardians from number 2 and providing the training, you don't need to add parents and guardians to number 3 because of part of the people
right.
Notified. Is that Ed Code that the parents are supposed to be trained?
It's not listed. It's not.
Well, obviously, you can enforce the training. It'd have to be a voluntary thing, mm-hmm. You know, where you'd offer it.
As needed, these actions may include. So you may want to keep it.
I know the Boy Scouts, when we had to be certified to be counselors, you know, we had to do, it was online, but 2.5 hours of video stuff where they paced it too so that you couldn't just walk away and cheat. Not that anyone would have tried that. But, you know, I mean, we had to go through and be very detailed in your answers and, you know, and stuff. I mean, you had to do that. I mean, it was pretty good.
This is basically as needed, these actions may include, so I'm thinking.
More flexibility.
But when I'm reading in here what sexual harassment actually is, and I've been on our campuses, I think parents need to know what we're calling sexual harassment. And, I mean, it would be, even if it was a little bit at back-to-school night, I know we've missed that window, but if they could just say, this is our policy, and have it available for them to pick up, because I've seen it. You know, if some of the things I've seen, I could say, I would call that sexual harassment.
I hope you reported it.
Well, I didn't realize that one of them was leering.
But let me
know. The unwanted leering?
And so then it's like, okay.
Let me talk about that because we've had several discussions about this. When I read the top, and it did have.
Can you show me what?
I'm sorry, on page 4I. Okay, so they're giving prohibited sexual harassment includes but not limited to.
Mm-hmm.
In here it said unwelcome and unwanted.
Yeah,
and then I read 1, 2, 3, and 4, and I'm going, No, this looks like it's between the teacher and a student. This does not look like it's between two students. Mm-hmm. So because there was a word in here that said, help me out, Mike, number examples of sexual harassment may constitute. So we took out, because of the word may, the unwanted, because then you could use some judgment in terms of what is being reported. But they had unwanted in some areas and not in other areas, and it didn't make sense to me. So the may include helps when you're doing an investigation. When you do the investigation and you're talking to either two students, or there's some flexibility as you do the investigation. Is that really sexual harassment or not?
Well, again, some of it's more than that. I mean, when they start talking about groping, obviously that's not harassment, it's assault.
Well, right, and it crosses over. It crosses over.
Well, massaging. Now, I've seen massaging going on. I don't think it's appropriate, but the students involved look like, they were comfortable with it.
That would go in the investigation.
Well, and then that's kind of the reason you put the may there, because if both parties are comfortable within the same age level, that wouldn't be sexual harassment. Inappropriate behavior, yes, not sexual harassment. Much more severe case when it's sexual harassment.
But when I started reading these, that's when I was, oh, good, they're going to do some kind of training for parents or something, so parents understand that this is very serious and this is a conversation you should be having with your student, your child, letting them know you might feel okay with it, and it may appear that the other person feels comfortable with it because they may be embarrassed. But they're going to go and tell somebody that you made a remark or you massaged them.
I like the idea of handing it out, having the policy available back to school nights. Maybe we can make that part of.
Or during their teacher presentations, mm-hmm. pointing it out where it is available.
That it is available.
If you look under notifications, number 3, maybe you can add it there.
That's how I'm looking. What page is that on?
4M. Where it says that a copy of the district's sexual harassment policy regulation shall, the number 1, is be included in the notifications that are sent to parent parties at the beginning of each school year.
Apparently.
Number 2, be displayed in prominent locations in the administrative building or other area where notices of district rules, regulations, procedures, and standards of conduct are included, or most including school websites. So it's given on school websites. They're going to get it at the beginning of the year. Number 3 is be part of any orientation program conducted for new students at the beginning of each quarter, semester, summer session. So maybe you put available at back to school.
So you have it available at all those places?
There.
Under 3?
Yes.
Like i.e. back to school night? Okay.
I don't know if it's for example, because it's sort of just a list of the places it's going to be.
Oh, just add it to that back to school night. Okay.
And number 5 says be included in the student handbook. So that can easily be pointed out at those back to school nights. Mm-hmm.
Right. But when you're looking at these kind of things, and I started, and the things I've absorbed on the campus, which it seemed consensual, but I could see that being reported. So parents can just be aware of how serious this is, mm-hmm. and the repercussions to their students. And then I put a question mark next to this, and I wrote when and how. It's 4M, number 4. Consistent with the law regarding the confidentiality of students and personal records, communicating the school's response to parents, guardians, and community. And I just wrote when and how, but I'm... So how is that done?
I'm sorry,
Number 4 on 4M on the top, enforcing of district policies.
Oh, okay.
Depends on the case. It would depend on the case.
Do you want to say that louder, please?
Well, I think Ms. Paulus, it would depend on the case as to how much information could be disseminated. keeping confidentiality in case, I mean, we've had cases in recent years that we could only report so much because of confidentiality of either the case or the minor. And that's what that's trying to say is consistent with law. We'll release information. If we can't release it, we can't release it.
Okay. So it says as much as we can say.
Correct.
All the questions I had on that. Yes.
Okay. BPAR 6178.1, Mr. Cox. Work-based learning. Mr. Spence. Okay. BB 9121. Mr. Cox.
On the last paragraph. X can we just have it as at the annual reorganization meetings the office of the president be voted on by the board and eliminate everything else?
That's what I have.
The annual reorganization meeting, the say it again?
Skip to the next line. At the end of the annual reorganization meeting, meeting singular, the office of the president is to be voted on by the board.
And keep the remaining, or you said move, remove
I'll
the remaining?
I'll remove the rest of this. You want to go on to the other ones too, then? Vice President?
Well, let's go with President first. Put in order. Ms. Shoemaker?
I see no reason to change this policy. As Ms. Pullis stated at the last meeting, the rotation of officers was put in because we had had situations in the past where when it came to board officers, due to outside conflicts between individual board members, some board members were kept out of the position of being an officer of the board. We are all duly elected to this board and deserve the right to hold the positions of officers of the board. It was specifically made in here that the rotation could be changed by the rest of the board feeling that somebody shouldn't hold the position, specifically to avoid political conflicts rather than the fact that somebody is a board member and should be allowed to rotate. I find the fact that this is coming up now to be amazing, considering, at least in my case, I'm a witness against a couple of board members in a lawsuit. I see this as retaliation based on my testimony. And, you know, just wonder when the focus will be back on our students.
As stated, I talked to this at our last meeting, and I agree with Ms. Shoemaker. It's too bad that this even had to be changed originally with these words, that two individuals were left out of the rotation, and that this was the remedy that was sought at that time to ensure that everyone would have a chance to be clerk, vice president, and president, so they could serve their constituents just like everybody else. I'm disappointed that it's up for a vote again. It still can work. The changes that Mr. Cox has suggested was how it was written years ago. So there is a chance that the rotation could continue at our next reorganization meeting, but since these changes are being requested, I see that there'll be people left out. It looks like they're trying to set it up so there'll be people left out of the rotation once again. And I'm very disappointed that we're going down this road.
Mr. Spence? Well, obviously I support changing it. When we're elected as board members, we're not necessarily elected as president. In fact, in the first 16 years I was on the board, there are only two occasions where people received no votes in when we were rotating stuff. And in fact, some of the people now that are, you know, saying that this policy is fair had no problem accepting the presidency and voting to pass other people up. But now they say, you know, that wasn't fair. That I guess their vote wasn't fair. But in the 16 years before that, there were three no votes. And since this policy has been in place during the last 4 years, the number of no votes has been four times what it was 16 years worth of time. And it has been nothing but contentious since we implemented this policy, and it's been confusing, and people didn't know who was supposed to go where. People can say that this policy was fair or whatever, but it led to more contention than the previous 16 years did. And I would also add that, especially with the office of president, that person has to be someone that has the confidence of a majority of the board. And if they don't, they shouldn't be president. There's no nothing in the state constitution when it was put together. The voters haven't said we have to have an elected president. And in fact, one of the people that was installed as president that had been passed over several months into that person's term, we had to have a meeting in closed session to deal with the fact the person was making the superintendent uncomfortable. And so, you know, clearly there was a reason why that person had been passed over. And, you know, sometimes there's a reason.
When we talk about contention, the votes. You might not have heard it from the board because the people that were passed over took it quietly and did not show contention openly. But they were. It made them feel very bad, and people in the audience were very hurt as a result. And I would call that very contentious. And I had many community members come up to me and complain about that happening. So it was one person's attention, one person that just spoke that said it's more contentious now that this was instituted. But I had many people in the public thank me and was glad felt that it really made things run more smoothly. So that. So the public, at least, or some of the public, has expressed to me how they were grateful that each person had a chance and they felt it was less contentious. I just wanted to let you know what some of the people had said to me about contention on the board regarding this issue.
I just want to clarify. Since I've been on the board from the first year, George Fuller became board president when I came in, after having been passed over numerous times, even though he was on the board. After that, this policy was implemented. So at no time during the time that I have been on the board did somebody get passed over in the rotation. And trust me, there has been nobody that's been passed over. And there have been times when it has been very difficult for me to vote yes on a succession for board members that I may not have the confidence in, but the voters have the confidence in, and they have the right to have full access to every position available on this board. It may have been contentious because there have been times when board members have turned the rotation down. And because they turned the rotation down, they then raised issues about the wording of the policy. It was not the policy itself, but board member actions that made the policy confusing. So, again, this was something that was talked about to me as soon as I got on the board was implementing a policy that was fair to all board members, that took the politics out of it. And make no mistake, the change that is being proposed here is all about politics and personal feelings and retribution and retaliation. It has nothing to do with fairness or anybody's capability on this board to represent the board or the district.
And I know this isn't videotaped, but it was, I was pointed at that I was the person. I never voted to keep Mr. Fuller out of the rotation. Yes, I moved up, and it was because he asked me to stay in the rotation. I nominated Mr. Fuller each time. Yes. And he asked me to stay in the rotation. I just wanted that clarification, and I didn't, because it is being recorded, and so it's clear on how that happened. Mr. Fuller and I had the discussion. No one seconded it, that's correct. Okay.
I have the same changes on the other two Mr. Fox. I have on one.
I'm fine.
I think we have to separate this down problem.
Yeah, I'm fine with the way it's currently presented because it does say that you can go to the bottom. It also says that with a majority of the vote, the Board of Education can modify the succession list. So I'm fine with how it's presented here. And then it still gives someone the opportunity to opt out and where their name goes if they opt out. So I think it keeps clarity there. So I'm fine with how it's presented here. The I wasn't sure in the middle with the a minimum of with a majority, is that vote? It looks like the S is striked out, right? I just want to clarify. Okay. Okay, so I'm fine with this and as is. With the way it's presented as is. Okay, Office of the Vice President.
Mm-hmm. I will again reiterate the fact that it says for the exact reason that the majority of the board can change at any election. This is to avoid individual political feelings. And so when you can get four members of the Board of Education to say, no, you shouldn't hold an office, it becomes a serious issue rather than, I just don't like you. I don't agree with your positions. And so to change it to majority vote, you're basically in effect taking the succession. There's no reason to have the rest of the policy because it can be changed at any time.
Just like when this policy was implemented for you.
Okay. Thank you. Vice President, Mr. Cox, I think you said you want the same change you were saying before. Okay. Ms. Shoemaker?
Same objection. I don't think it should be changed.
I don't think it should be changed.
Mr. Spence?
I think we should go stuff about succession now because it creates a lot of issues if we want to keep someone in a position another year or if we want to, or if someone, for whatever reason, this whole going to the bottom and all that kind of stuff. And actually, that was part of the problem is people couldn't figure out who was supposed to go where.
Then, Mr. Cox and Mr. Spence, what you're saying then is at each meeting we would then say, okay, who would like to be president, and we vote. So straight through, and who would like to be vice president, and we vote straight through, and
would
like to be clerk.
That was kind of informal.
It won't be who would like to be. It'll be who do the majority of the board want it to be, regardless of any other board member, is what it will go back to.
But then everybody has the opportunity to put their name in the hat, right, and then can be voted on. Yeah.
Yes, and again, okay. If they disagree with you politically, or if somebody's a witness against somebody in a lawsuit, then they will never have the opportunity to be an officer of the board, because that will be a way to retaliate. Much like changing this policy.
Perjuring yourself, actually, would be another way to retaliate against the board you don't like, too. But I would think that...
Which I haven't, but I'm sure you have.
I would think that, you know, a majority of the board can decide who its officers are. That's always how it's been. And we've always had an informal one. And, yeah, there's people that have been left out. If people were... you know, immature, or there were other things that they did that would cause problems. Yeah, sometimes. At the same time, I know I've voted to put people in the presidency that I don't agree with politically, but I had the confidence that they would not, you know, withhold information, that they would be honest in their dealings with the board and with the superintendent and those kind of things. And so I was fine with those people in those circumstances doing it. So that's not the issue. The issue is, or not, you have confidence in them. And so, I mean, if the people of West Covina want to change it, that we have a rotation and we elect a board president, you know, then we should do and put an election rather than have the rotation like that.
Okay. And again, with any policy, we can try it, and if it doesn't work, we can go back. Correct? Yes.
It has been tried, and it didn't work. The same.
Right, which is why we need to change it.
Okay.
The change has worked, in my opinion.
Okay. I can support what Mr. Cox has for president and vice president.
And clerk.
Oh, and let me see what's clerk.
Clerk has its own the same stuff.
Okay, so then that means we eliminate the 2-year period?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, we can try that. All right, so let me, Mr. Cox, at the annual reorganization meeting, the office of the president is to be voted on by the majority of the board? Is that what I understand?
By a majority vote. Put on the board.
By the majority vote of the board?
Mm-hmm.
Vote of the board. Okay. And then for vice president at the annual reorganization meeting, the office of vice president is to be voted on by the majority vote of the board. Is that
majority vote of the board? Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then for clerk, same thing, right?
Why don't you just ask the superintendent to present us for second reading our old board policy? Because that's what we're doing.
Okay.
I'm sorry, what?
In addition to the changes, we can also
just
see
bring back the old board policy.
No, it isn't. Actually, it is different than the other policy. Because some of the stuff under the duties are different from the
old policies. We archive old policies.
They are.
Okay.
We don't have the old policies. We haven't archived them. Okay.
So then clerk would then be at the annual reorganization meeting. The office of clerk is to be voted on by the majority vote of the board.
Should be elected by the majority vote of the board? We're saying vote.
By majority vote of the board.
Okay.
Shall be elected.
Only 3 people vote.
By the majority vote of the board.
Okay. Excuse me. Would you have the first paragraph? Do we have that wording? Is that the only wording in that paragraph? Yes. So all the rest. Yeah. And we don't have a policy to bring that. Okay. Okay, so This is first reading. So who will move the first reading for BPAR 5.26, BPAR 5.45.7, BPAR 6.178.1?
Well, I'll move those three.
Okay.
Why don't we separate out the other ones?
Oh, right.
I'll second.
Okay, all those in favor of BPAR 5.126, BPAR 5.145.7, and BPAR 6.178.1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those against? Okay. Then, for revision of board policy, first reading, BB 9121, BB 9121.1, and BB 9123. Who will move that?
I'll move it, but change it to except for first and second reading, those three board policies.
Okay, who will second that? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All those against?
No.
No.
Okay, so it is carried 3-2 with Ms. Shoemaker and Ms. Poulos voting. Okay, item number 6.
I have to have this removed from the board, from the agenda, from consent. I just quick comment. David Beck is an extraordinary teacher, and he's done, I guess he's not part of the academic decathlon, but he has in the past, and I know that he's worked extremely hard in this. This whole idea of economic education has been something that we've been asking for at least the last 5 years, and I don't think that we've made enough progress in this area. Mm-hmm. I'm thrilled to death that he's asked him or been offering to go to this conference. And the only thing I would like is to suggest to the board that we have him back to present some sort of a presentation to us so that we can have a better understanding of what it is.
Okay.
That they're offering in this program.
I have no problem with that. I just wanted to say to Mr. Cox, when I was at the open house last year at the high school, several of the teachers showed me what they're using for personal finance right now. I was hoping for a copy so I could give to the board, but they're disposable and they didn't have any extra. And they said the next time I heard it at the board table to make sure that I shared with them that they did have something, and that and to make it clear to the public, because they said they were working towards that, and they did have this information that they were providing to the students.
And I have seen that. I'm actually looking for a standalone class, not something done, I think, was the government class or the it's a part of the curriculum,
right,
of a particular thing. And I'm hoping that it's going to be something more than that.
Okay.
We'll see.
Excellent.
We'll bring him back. That's a good idea.
Good. Thank you. Thanks for that suggestion. I would love to hear from him. Okay. Anyone else want to comment on item number 6? Okay. Item number 7.
It hasn't been moved.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. Thank you. Who would like to second that?
I'll second it.
Thank you. So it was moved by Mr. Steve Cox and seconded by Ms. Cami Poulos to approve for David Beck, West Covina High School teacher, to attend the National Conference Council on Economic Education, October 3rd through 6th, 2012, in Kansas City, Missouri. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Carried 5-0. Item number 7, request for approval of grant application.
Well, if I can speak real quick, I mean, my only problem in approving this, obviously, is that it's not going to go anywhere. And so it's making our grant writers do a lot of work for nothing.
Well, I was actually going to pull number B. the Race to the Top grant, we did meet with our leadership of our union because they need to support this grant for it to be accepted or even be reviewed. And one of the criteria is that the evaluation of the teachers, of the administrators, and of the superintendent be based on student achievement. And our union did take it back to their leadership and did not feel that at this time that this would be something that would be supported by WAP. And felt that with the new evaluation system in place right now that they didn't feel that they could get support for this. So without the union support, we're not able to go forward with it. So
we can table this.
Just the Race to the Top, not the STEM.
Okay.
We can do.
Okay.
I just wanted to talk about the revenue for B. It was up to $20 million. So it was over a four-year period that we could have gotten. And it's so hard to see those kind of numbers and knowing what we're projecting as our budget for the next 4 years to not have that opportunity.
Is a big miss for our district. It would have been a great opportunity. Hopefully they'll open it up for next year and we'll be in a position to be able to get the support we need. Okay, so who will Ms. Shoemaker?
I believe we don't have to submit the application till the end of October. If we brought this back to the October 9th meeting, would there be time from there till the end of the month to get the application ready so that the union, you can strongly take it back to the union and ask them to reconsider and possibly even have them take it to a vote of their membership and not just their leadership, with the understanding that this is $20 million over 4 years that we are giving up basically because they don't want data to measure what they're doing as part of their job. And I just look at what our, as Ms. Pola said, I just look at our numbers over the next 4 years and 3 years, and it's just not good. This could save jobs, save programs, and I would really just like the union to take one last thought about it.
But that might help student achievement. So,
Would it also be possible that, maybe we're just not catching what it is that their objections are, and perhaps maybe they could even make a presentation here. Somebody in the union could come
to the board
and try to explain to us why it is they don't need why our children don't need $10 to $20 million,
and why student achievement shouldn't be one component of evaluation.
It's just horribly unfair.
So let me just clarify. If I can do anything you want,
maybe we're just missing something. Maybe it's something fundamental in the operations of how a teacher.
Ms. Valentine?
Administrators, superintendents.
In terms of writing the grant, the big issue is in writing the grant. Have we stopped writing it? Have we stopped working on it with our grant writer?
Well, we did. We found this out. We did cancel the meeting that we had planned for tomorrow. I think in terms of timeline, I'm not sure if it's possible. It's a lengthy grant application, and I think we notified Alice that talk.
Let me see if it is possible, we will do it.
If nothing else, I agree with Mr. Cox's suggestion that I would like to hear from TALK directly as to why this $20 million was not important enough to them to agree to have evaluations based on student data and student achievement.
So I guess what I'd recommend is, just based on the conversation tonight, that you don't pull it, that you vote on it. If we can't follow through, we can always come back to you, but we would need to know if the board is supporting this to move forward. So I would recommend keeping it on.
Okay, so let's keep it on. Okay, so who will move?
I'll move it.
Thank you. So second, thank you. Okay, so Request for approval of grant applications. It was moved by Ms. Cami Poulos and seconded by Mr. Steve Cox. To approve the submission of a STEM, Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics grant application to the Office of Naval Research, as well as to approve for submission of a Race to the Top federal grant application for our K-12 schools. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Excellent. Okay, that takes us to the end of our meeting. Any item for board discussion? Okay. Alrighty, October 9th, the next Board of Education meeting. Thank you. We are adjourned
at 8:20
p.m.